بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver. Last week we had commenced our discussion pertaining to our aqaid, our belief system. And we had mentioned that that person who will bring iman, who will accept the basic principles and tenets of faith, belief in Allah, in the oneness of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the finality of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of qiyamah, jannah, jahannam, that person who will bring iman in these basic principles of faith, then although he may have led a life of disobedience, he may have broken the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not live a life in total adherence to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but ultimately his final abode will be the gardens of Jannah, provided he brought iman in this and he left this world like this. And on the contrary, that person who did not bring iman, he did not believe in these basic principles of faith, or he rejected a few of them. Like we have, for example, a person who believes in Allah, he believes in His oneness, he believes in His attributes, he knows there is life after death, he believes in the Quran to an extent, but he rejects just one basic principle of iman. As an example, he rejects the finality of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believes that there is a Nabi after him, or the door of nubuwwat is still open. Then this person, no matter how good he may have been, no matter how much of good he did in his life, ultimately his final abode or his condition will be khalidan mukhalladan fi an-nar. He will be forever and ever in the fire of Jahannam. So to revisit and re-cement our intention, my dear brothers, that alhamdulillah we have iman, and we believe in these basic principles of faith, but this is for us to develop conviction, certitude, that this set of beliefs is the only acceptable and truthful set of beliefs. And this is my ticket to salvation in the Akhirah. If I can understand and appreciate what I believe in and how I believe in it, then this will go a long way to remove and dispel any doubts that may arise in the future. And therefore we had commenced last week with the first discussion pertaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we had mentioned, that the discussion regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is broken into three categories. The first, which we touched on last week, the existence of Allah. And we had mentioned the evidence brought forth by Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, that ship that docks itself in the harbor and the goods are loaded on automatically, and the ship then leaves and navigates the stormy waters and finds its way to its destination, it docks itself there, and the goods are then offloaded. And all of this happens without any external influence or assistance. So when he mentioned this to that group of atheists, then the response was, this is an absurd claim. Any person who says this is an ignorant person. And how Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah then said that if you cannot believe this happening in one simple vessel, that it needs someone controlling it, and it needs someone to guide it, then how can you accept or believe that the entire universe is operating without a guide, without someone who is pulling the strings, without someone who is making decisions? And this then became the means of them accepting Islam, bringing iman upon his hands. Like this, there are many, many other logical evidences that ulama have explained. One such example, ulama say a person comes into the, he is in the forest, and he comes across a clearing. And he sees in that clearing, there is a well-crafted and constructed home, made of wood. The door panels and door frames are made of wood. The window frames are made of wood. There's a perfectly crafted staircase made of wood as well. And somebody has to say to him that on one occasion in the past, there was a storm, there was a very strong wind, and this wind blew and caused the trees to knock into one another, and these trees then fell on top of one another, and through this, this entire house came into existence. So this also a person will scoff at, he will laugh at that, how is this possible? In the very same way ulama explained, you see the house, you understand it has been built, there has to be a builder behind it. A person sees a book that has been authored, he comes across any book, he understands this has been authored, there is an author behind it. Likewise, when a person sees makhluk, the creation, and that is all around us, then he understands that behind the creation, there has to be a creator. That is why ulama have explained, mufassirin say, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٍ. In every single entity around us, there are signs indicating to the existence and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is regarding Allah's existence. Thereafter, the second discussion, which we will commence tonight, is pertaining to tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we reaffirm on a daily basis. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That I bear testimony, I acknowledge, I believe that there is no deity besides Allah. But what is meant by this? So commonly the application of tawheed that you and I understand is that there is one Allah, there isn't a second or third or fourth Allah. There is just one being, one Allah worthy of worship. And definitely this is one of the correct applications of tawheed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran in a very beautiful way. ضَرَبَ لَكُمْ مَثَلًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah says that Allah has cited a parable within your own lives. And I'll just cut it short. But Allah explains that a person owns something in this world. As an example, a person is the owner of his business and he has built that business up from scratch. He's put in the hard yards, a lot of sweat and effort behind it. And he has a few workers in that business. One person, his job is to sweep the floor. Somebody else is packing the shelves. Somebody else is standing outside and calling the customers in. So will we find a businessman or a person, an owner like this, who has all these workers subservient to him? And one day he calls them and he says, listen, I am granting you a share and a partnership in the business. So you who are my worker, you are subservient to me. You are dependent on me for your wages and your salary. You are answerable to me. But now I am going to make you my equal. So whenever I need to take a decision in the business, I will have to consult you. And if I damage something or cause some loss, I will be answerable to you. So of course we will never find a case like this. A person knows that I am in control, I am in charge. Or the housewife at home has a domestic worker. And she says one day that, listen, all of these appliances in the kitchen, you are the owner of it. Or I'm giving you some partnership in here. When I want to use the microwave, I will have to seek your permission. If I damage the Maggi mix, I will have to ask your, I will have to repay you in some way. So we will never find a situation or a case like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, كَذَٰلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. Look at in what a beautiful manner we have explained that Allah is the creator of everything. Every single being is subservient to Allah. And therefore, how does it make sense for Allah to select from His creation certain individuals or beings and now elevate them to the level of divinity? And this was the belief of the mushrikeen of Makkah. Many of us may not be aware that the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama believed in Allah. They acknowledged the existence of Allah and they even accepted Allah to be the creator. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you had to ask them, O Nabi of Allah, who created the skies, who created the earth, who created you, then the answer would be Allah is the creator. But with this, they then said that Allah had selected from His creation, be it the angels, or be it some pious people, or whoever it may be, and Allah had now elevated them to the level of divinity. So therefore, we have to worship them as well. We have to seek assistance from them as well. We have to ask them for help as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly wipes out this belief that Allah is one and there is no other deity like Him. La sharika lahu. Allah has no partner. So this application of tawheed or understanding of tawheed, alhamdulillah, all of us have understood. But ulama explained that the concept of tawheed goes much further than this. One is Allah being one, that there is only one Allah in existence. Together with this, when we speak about the oneness of Allah, this also means that Allah is unique in His being. That Allah in His being is one, but in every single attribute of His, He is also one. And if Allah has an attribute or a quality or a characteristic, then no creation of His can have that same characteristic. No creation of His can share in that quality with Him. As a simple example, if Allah is the Raziq, the provider, then Allah's tawheed means that He alone is the provider. And no other being can be said to be a provider. Yes, perhaps at times we use the term and we use it very loosely. Ulama say we are just borrowing these names from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Sami', He hears, and I am also Sami', I also hear. Allah is kind, and so is also kind. Allah is gracious, this person is gracious. But in reality, there is no comparison. Just for us to understand, the young boy, 4 or 5 years old, and some visitor comes home, so he says to that person that, you know, my father has a car, and I also have a car. So this person will say, what do you mean you have a car? So he goes and he brings his small plastic toy car. He says, my father's car is downstairs, but here's my car. So is there any comparison? Can we liken the two? Still, to some extent, there may be some likeness in the toy car and the real car. In reality, our attributes and Allah's attributes are completely incomparable. As an example, ulama explained, when it comes to our attributes as insan, every single attribute is restricted, is deficient. A person's quality of sight, this is restricted. Right now, as I am seated here, I can perhaps see those in the back of the masjid. But if I have to try and look beyond this to Sparks Road, for example, then impossible that I will ever see what is happening there. Even if the walls had to be removed, maybe a person with very good eyesight, but you tell him, why don't you look at Ahmad Al-Qadi Hospital in this direction? Can you see what's happening in the operating theater? Impossible. No matter how good the optometrist will say, you go for a checkup, and he says, your vision is 100%. 20-20 vision. What he means is that your vision is as perfect as a human being's vision can get. But in reality, that also is restricted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight, Allah's hearing, Allah's knowledge is completely unrestricted. For you and I, when it comes to our knowledge increases as things happen. A person meets into an accident outside, and I see the accident happening, I now get knowledge of this occurrence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama explain, His knowledge was complete even before creating us. Before we came into existence, before our grandparents came into existence, Allah knew their entire existence, their life, what they will do, what they will eat, and their outcome, and what will be their final abode also. Allah's knowledge is also unrestricted. So the oneness, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just to say that there is one Allah and there is no second or third Allah, but to understand and believe that Allah in every attribute of His is unique, He is one. Nobody shares with Him in these attributes. And then when we discuss the actual attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, time will not allow us to go into the details. There are many, many attributes that we learn from the Quran and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have heard these names of Allah many times before, or these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just a few examples where we may have a few doubts or misgivings, or perhaps our understanding is not totally correct. Many a times when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a point for us to take careful note of, is that whenever we speak about something, then we speak about it in relation to our own understanding. So if a person had to say to you that picture a car, then we will all have some image in our mind. And the image that comes into your mind is different from the image that comes into somebody else's mind. But each of us will have some basic generic image. There is a shape, and it has four wheels, and it has an engine, and it has seats, and whatever else it may be. The colors may differ, the size may differ. But all of us will have some type of image that comes into our mind. Many a times when we read about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we speak about Allah, it is inevitable and natural that some image may come into the mind. And a person starts to think that this perhaps is how Allah looks. The ulama of Aqidah have mentioned the cure to this, or the understanding of this. They say that forget about the correct understanding or the correct image, because this is not something we can ever get to. But it is wajib for a person, when this image comes into his mind, to tell himself that this is not correct. And this is not the likeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My mind and my understanding, my brain, is incapable of comprehending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How, when a person will be given the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will take place in Jannah. Allah grant us all, make us part of that assembly. وَجُوهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about this. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ عِيَانًا That there will be a time when you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. But this will not happen in this dunya. Allah is beyond these restrictions. Together with this, another common misunderstanding that people have is many a times as we grow up, then we'll say to our children, perhaps it was told to us by our parents, that you better behave or make sure you do the correct thing, because Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere, and what was meant is that Allah's knowledge is everywhere. Allah knows what you're doing. Like that student, and the ustad told the students that you take these sweets and go and eat it where nobody can see you. So they all went, somebody hid under the duvet, somebody went behind the wall, somebody locked himself up in his room. And the one boy comes back and says that, oh teacher, I could not find any place because wherever I was, Allah was with me. So we have this, or rather this statement comes onto our tongues that Allah is everywhere. But ulama explained that this also is incorrect. Because in to an extent, this is restricting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to space and to time. These are the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us to understand, Allah existed before time, before space, before His throne, before this world, before the skies. There was nothing. كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah was in existence and there was absolutely nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us to claim that Allah is in a certain place or that Allah exists in one place and not another, this is in reality disrespect to the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah exists not confined and not restricted to time and to space. These are just a few misunderstandings that generally arise, and many a times we may be reading Quran or translation of the Quran, or we may be reading some book of hadith or sit in some bayan. We should do this. Our hidayat, nur, all of this will be gained, but under the guidance of some scholar, some alim, so that we do not get the wrong understanding. We will end on this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us two categories of individuals when it comes to these texts of Quran, of hadith, that outwardly liken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about two groups of people. That you will have those people, أَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Those people whose hearts are deviated. They will pursue and they will dig into the interpretation of these verses. And they will try to affirm a physical body for Allah. And they will say that Allah is like His creation. Or Allah resembles His creation in this way or in that way. But what should the people of firm belief do? What, in other words, what is the ideal for you and I? So Allah says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, what is their response? يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ. They say that, listen, we believe in all of this. It is from Allah, we will not delve into it. We are incapable of understanding the intricacies. And this should be our outlook when it comes to these touchy issues of aqidah. Of course, this forum doesn't allow us to go into the details. This is something that will be done in the classroom, and the students will appreciate the finer points and the technicalities. But for you and I, for us to understand that we wholeheartedly accept and believe in Allah as Allah exists. And to understand overall, the overall principle that applies is that Allah is beyond our comprehension. Allah is perfect. Allah has no flaws, no weaknesses, no shortcomings. And therefore, any type of understanding that may hint at some shortcoming for Allah, that He did not know something and now He comes to know it, or He exists here and not there, or His mercy is limited, or He cannot forgive this person and He'll only forgive that person, then all of this is disrespectful. And in reality, this is not the correct understanding of the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, in a nutshell, our aqaid regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, there is much more. Even in this short booklet, there's quite a bit that has been mentioned here, but time is limited. Just a few points that we will inshallah continue with next week, and thereafter we will move on to the next section, which is our beliefs pertaining to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanakallah.